Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Hello, good morning. How are you? Very welcome to the programme. Between now and 12, spend it while you have it. Is the government planning on a giveaway budget this autumn? Tourists and their dogs deliberately distressing the seal colony on Onblashgate Moor. The bits on between the ads, the big business of cartoons. Ireland v Canada in a must-not-lose tie for the girls in green. NatWest chief resigns over the Nigel Farage debanking affair. I'm a champion and a crusader, he claims. Text us this morning on 51551. You can also email todaycb@rte.ie. I would like to begin this morning, though, with a look at the inner workings of government, as we like to do regularly enough when we get a government minister into studio. And this morning I am joined by Minister Roderick O'Gorman, Minister for Children, Equality, Disability, Integration and Youth. A very good morning to you.
Morning, Philip.
All your government colleagues have been out and about over the course of the week talking about Garda numbers as a response to that terrible assault on the American tourist in the city centre. Why aren't you out and about talking about what is being done to divert children from antisocial behaviour in the first place?
Well, I think my department have brought forward very significant measures in terms of our youth supports. I put a significant additional investment into youth work over the last 3 years in the budgets. And we work closely with the Department of Justice in terms of the youth diversion projects that they operate and that are regarded as being extremely successful in terms of diverting young people who maybe have some initial offences into maybe non-custodial sentences and subsequently away from subsequent re-offence.
Extremely successful. How can you say that, though, when the evidence of the last week has been presented all over the papers points in exactly the opposite direction?
Undoubtedly, there's been some very significant assaults in an area of our inner city, and I've no doubt that causes real concern to people, you know, travelling through those parts of the city, but most importantly to the communities living there. That's why my department is, for example, part of the North Inner City initiative that operates to support children, support young people and support communities across the North Inner City, all the way from greater investment in early years services towards supporting youth work and youth services in that area. It was only a number of weeks ago I visited the Swan Initiative in the North Inner City and saw the great work that's being undertaken there.
Not going to undermine their work, but is it enough? I mean, are you now worried in government that the US embassy is issuing travel advisories on personal safety to people coming to Dublin?
There have been a number of very significant incidents in the North Inner City in the last number of weeks, and I think the response has to be on a number of grounds. We've seen across government our response to increased policing presence there. That's not new. That's something we started in 2022 with the reopening of Fitzgibbon Street station. We've continued that with the reopening of the station on O'Connell Street.
Does it worry you that your colleagues are all concentrated on Garda numbers and that they don't seem to be talking the same language that you're talking about social supports for these children?
I don't agree with you, because I think there is a recognition that all elements have to be engaged, and I think that's why Minister McEntee has been very focused on the rollout of the community safety partnerships. So these are going to replace the joint policing committees that operate right now. They were reasonably successful. I would have sat on one in the Fingal area when I was on the council, but I think these community safety partnerships are a much, I suppose, more structured way for An Garda Síochána to engage with the community and voluntary sector
in a particular area. She chose to be photographed with Gardaí walking around the city centre, not in a community partnership scheme.
Well, I don't think there's any doubting Minister McEntee's commitment to the introduction of these community partnership schemes. It's legislation that she's championed throughout her time in office. And she works very closely, I know, with Minister Brown in the context of the youth diversion project. So I think there is a very strong focus on all elements of the response to these incidents. I think perhaps maybe some more of the media focus is probably on the Garda numbers, but government's response is on all elements, and particularly in terms of the social supports needed to assist.
Let's move on. Yesterday, the High Court approved a mediated settlement of more than €90,000 to the family of a 15-year-old boy who was among the patients impacted by the failings in the South Kerry Child and Adolescent Mental Health Service. The boy's family have called for a public inquiry. Do you support that call?
What was revealed in South Kerry was a hugely grievous breach of trust for young people, some of the most vulnerable young people in the care of state institutions. And when it was revealed, I think Minister Butler and Minister Donnelly acted quickly. They got Professor Maskey in to look at the particular situation in South Kerry. He recommended that we review all the CAM services across the country. The Mental Health Commission undertook that. My understanding is there. Report is coming out very soon, probably be coming out sometime this week. So before I could, I suppose, comment in detail on the call by that child's family, I'd like to see what the Mental Health Commission have to say in terms of their overall understanding of actions in each of the CAM services across the country.
You might not have heard Brian Jennings reading the news headline. I think you were walking into studio at the time that the Health and Information Quality Authority has this morning published its report into Tusla's separated children seeking international protection service. It found that all 10 standards were assessed as non-compliant. How many children are we talking about here?
Well, our separated children's services has seen a very significant increase in the numbers of children it's been dealing with, a combination of the war in Ukraine and the increased levels of migration. So prior to 2022, it would have been dealing with maybe 30, 40 per children per year. Right now, it has 270 children. It's okay. Caring for 270
and what
children.
Proportion of those would be really vulnerable under the age of 10 or 12? What proportion would be 17 and about to be aged out of that system?
The significant majority in that cohort now are older young people, so in the 16 to 17 age category. So it has changed the demographic, the makeup of that group have changed. But nevertheless, the report from HICWA is very concerning. Any report that HICWA produces to me that suggests that children and young people are vulnerable is something I and my department take very seriously.
And what is your best information on where the kids are ending up?
These children are, when they arrive in Ireland, some we're able to provide foster care for, but the majority of them would go into either residential care or emergency residential care placements.
And those that go missing, what is your suspicion about where they are ending up?
Well, I think it's important to say while a number of children go missing from the service every year, the vast majority of children are returned to the service. We have a very close relationship with An Garda Síochána. There's a protocol there for dealing with situations where a child goes missing. We also have a national alert system if there's a situation where there's real risk. So I think in terms of this year, I think perhaps two children haven't been returned to the service. An Garda Síochána continues an investigation where the child is missing. We suspect many of those children go and reunite with other family members in other EU member states.
I'm not saying that it doesn't happen or diminishing it in any way, but you're not worried about large numbers of these 270 children ending up being trafficked?
Listen, any child that goes missing is a source of real concern. Let's be very clear about that. No child should be going missing. But the vast majority of children who do abscond from care arrangements are returned to those care arrangements. We have close working relationships with An Garda Síochána. We now have a Tusla chief social worker embedded in the Garda National Protective Services unit. So we have that ongoing engagement with them so we can follow up on those cases. I know there's been a recent publication in terms of by by a group in UCD concerned about the potential sexual exploitation about children. I'm actually meeting that group tomorrow to discuss their work in more detail, and in turn I'll engage with Tuzla in terms of how we can continue to strengthen the services for children that we have.
There's another HICWA report out this morning that's found an inspection of child and welfare services in Dublin South, West Kildare, West Wicklow service area says that the children who alleged abuse, inappropriate contact and sexual assault had been left on waiting lists for months. There was one particularly disturbing case of a four-year-old child who alleged inappropriate contact by an older child and was still on a waiting list 5 months later.
Look, the report from the Southwest Dublin, Kildare and West Wicklow area is concerning. The three standards that it was inspected against were all found non-compliant. And somewhat similar to the issue with separated children, we have in Tuzla right now, we have a very significant problem in terms of recruitment of social workers. There's real pressure there right now. We have about 1,600 social workers across Tuzla, and we are having difficulties in terms of recruitment and retention.
Notwithstanding that has been those recruitment difficulties, though, when you read the details of some of these cases, children under the age of 8 found home alone, a teenager still on a waiting list 14 months after an alleged sexual assault. It's hard to believe that we don't have an emergency response system to cases like that.
And the report did find that those children who were in most urgent need were seen within the requisite time in terms of the assessment that Tuzla social workers made. But nevertheless, the fact that any children are awaiting a significant period of time is a concern. We've engaged, and Tuzla have engaged with that particular social work area. Additional social workers have been put in place now to deal with both the intake of new cases, and also new team leads have been put in place as well to provide provide greater levels of coverage in terms of social work. But you know, the wider piece of work, and it's work that's relevant to all Tuzla areas around the country, is hiring more social workers. That's through the graduate entry program that Tuzla has initiated, through bringing agency social workers into social work as full time social workers, through adding social work to the list of critical skills, so we can Tuzla can hire social workers from abroad as
and
well.
And finding more foster places for vulnerable children.
Absolutely.
That is not something that is a new demand. Why has it been unaddressed?
It is being addressed. 90% of children who are in care in Ireland are in foster care. That's much higher than most other European countries, and we want to keep it like that. Over the last year, I've engaged very extensively with both IFCA and Movement for Change, two of the groups representing foster carers. We'll be looking to enhance the foster care allowance in this year's budget. We're looking to do a piece in terms of the mileage for foster carers whose child's family home is a distance for them. And Tuzla has put in place a new foster caring framework as well, which I think is a really important document.
I'd like to move on. Your Green Party colleague, Eamon Ryan, yesterday launched the rail strategy. Asked about it, the Taoiseach undermined it straight off the bat by saying that the rail plan made the case for building more roads. Does the left hand know what the right is doing in government at all?
Well, I think we had a really good discussion at Cabinet yesterday about the rail review, and I think it again illustrates the case for sustained investment in public transport in this country. We haven't seen
sustained
investment. Was the
Taoiseach paying attention during that conversation?
Look, all members of Cabinet were very engaged, and one of the key priorities of the Green Party when we negotiated the programme for government was to ensure that we have public transport investment and major public transport investment, both in those really big projects. And I think the Dart West, which is going to benefit my own constituency, which is now actually in the planning process, but also recognising that we need to extend the benefits of public transport country.
Why would the Taoiseach say sustained investment in rural public transport like
Local Link as well.
Why would the Taoiseach say something like what he said yesterday then? Is he in election mode already?
Look, I think in this country we've always had, I suppose, a debate in terms of the allocation of public investment in terms of major projects. We secured in the programme for government a two-thirds lean towards public transport, recognising the climate crisis that we face, and we're seeing around Europe and around the world right now, and recognising that we have underinvested in public transport for most of the history of our state. We continue to invest in the maintenance of roads. We continue to, you know, implement bypasses in areas where that will benefit everybody. But I think the really big changes that we need to make to our transport system, to, you know, the transport was the one area in the climate the climate commission's, sorry, the EPA's review earlier this week, where our emissions continue to rise, and we're not going to tackle that until we invest majorly in public transport.
The case is being made with the wildfires, with the heat waves, with the alarming rate at which the Antarctic is melting now, for robust climate action. Why then is it that in Ireland the Green Party is languishing on 4%?
Well, look, you know, I don't think you can always make a direct correlation between the, you know, what's happening internationally and the polling of one party on a particular day.
The time should have come for your policies, but the Irish public just aren't buying.
Well, you know, we are implementing our policies, and as you know, not all of the policies that are required to make the shifts that we need, not all of them are popular. Some of them are very hard. They require changes in people's lives. I think what our job to do as a government, but particularly as a Green Party in government, is to, I suppose, demonstrate why we're doing this, recognising the, and, you know, what's happened, the reason we're doing this, the reason we're making these difficult changes are becoming more apparent to people, and the impacts are coming closer. These aren't just things that are happening, you know, in Bangladesh or in the Sahara. They're happening in Europe. They're happening in Ireland. We've seen a huge increase in kind of in sudden weather events even over the course of this summer. So the reality of climate change is coming closer to people, and it's up to us in government to act and to lead and to take those policies, not all of which are politically popular, but all of which are absolutely necessary.
Minister Roderick O'Gorman, thank you very much for joining us in studio this morning.
Thanks, Philip.
The possibilities of a giveaway budget after this.
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.